Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When we give consideration to our gospel lesson, and this is actually the gospel lesson that we would have had on Sunday had we observed the 10th Sunday after Trinity instead of St. Bartholomew, it bears repeating year after year as a remembrance. When we live apart from God, we are carried away by dumb idols, as St. Paul said to the Corinthians. Mute idols, gods that cannot speak because they've been made with our own hands, gods that instead have been made by the hands of fallen men. We were led by them. They go by many different names: Allah, Buddha, Baal, Ashtoreth. But at the end of the day, these are demons. These are false gods, and they lead us astray all the way into hell. So it is only by God's grace that we can have salvation. It is only by faith worked by the Holy Spirit that we have that. God, in his old covenant, in the Old Testament that we can read, over and over and over again saves his people from themselves. He called Abraham out of a land filled with dumb idols. And he said, "Follow me, and I will make you father of many." And so he did that. He followed him into the land of Canaan. And he trusted in God. At times there were bumpy roads, but ultimately, as always is the case, God's word is true. He gave Abraham a son through his wife Sarah. And even though they had laughed about it, God brought forth that son, the patriarch Isaac. God would allow his people to go then into Egypt for a time, where there were other false gods, the Egyptian gods. Ultimately, had they followed those gods, they would have been led into hell. And yet God allowed his people a remnant of the faithful. And after the land of Canaan that God had already declared to Abraham that would be his had gotten so bad because they had followed those demons so completely that they were offering human sacrifices, God said it was time for his people to go, sending 10 plagues upon the Egyptians, and for the last plagues, separating his people from them. Once they crossed the Red Sea on dry ground and watched as Pharaoh and his host were drowned, they followed him. They sang his praises. But then when it was time to go into the promised land, they would not follow. So God spent 40 years of them wandering until just the children and those two faithful adults, Joshua and Caleb, were left. God brought them into the land that he had promised. But he said, when you come into this land, do not tie yourselves up with these unbelievers, for they worship dumb idols, false gods, demons. They do not worship me. For a time, they worshiped the true God. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, they proclaimed. And that lasted for a time, until they looked at the fruit that was present among them and believed that it was by their own hands that they received it. And so they fell away. And God allowed the northern tribes to be overtaken by Assyria in 722. The southern kingdom was spared. They returned. But then they too fall into the same categories. And so God would allow the pagans of Babylon to overtake them. And they would spend 70 years in captivity until they would cry out for God's mercy and return. They would try, many of them, to follow the true God. They said, now we are actually devoted to him. Now we will follow him. And so they actually took it a step further. We will make other laws that God has not made so that we can try to keep his law, so that we can save ourselves by our own righteousness. And then God sent his son, born of a virgin, born under the law to fulfill it perfectly. But the place that he had promised, the people that he had given that promise to through the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, through the seed of David, and onward, so many of them would reject the very Messiah that they had prayed for. They would kill his prophets, and they would kill his son. And so ultimately, at their rejection of Jesus, he would allow the temple to once again be laid to waste. And in the year AD 70, in the year of our Lord 70, God allowed the pagans, the Emperor Vespasian and his son Titus, to overtake the temple, to overtake Jerusalem, and lay it to waste. It is on the 10th Sunday after Trinity that we are reminded of this historical fact by the historian Josephus. We are reminded that Jesus' prophecies are fulfilled. For in that gospel lesson, he sees the city. As he's about to ride in on Palm Sunday, he looks at this city that he loved, the city of his presence, and he weeps over them. And he says, would that you would have known the time of your visitation. Much like a parent who watches his son make the same mistakes that he had made, even after he had given the rules, watches as he had given them everything, and yet they rejected him. Can you imagine the unconditional, perfect love of God? The one who knew no sin, who became sin for them and for all the people. And he weeps. Jesus weeps because he sees the place and the people that he has loved so completely, the people that he had come to die for, knowing that they would reject him. And not even 40 years later, it would come to an end. The city, the temple. And then the people would be forced to do what he commanded. They would be forced to go into all the land, following the apostles. They would follow that great commission. Now, setting up churches for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, places where the Holy Spirit calls and gathers, sanctifies and enlightens his church, places like Waterford, Wisconsin, are grafted directly into that promise. And what a joyful thing it truly is. God's people of old, he set them apart, he followed them, he delivered them when they had sinned, and he gave them Messiah, a Messiah that so many of them rejected. So many of us as Gentiles have been grafted in and follow him. Salvation does not come from a specific city. It does not come from that specific temple. It does not come from the blood of Abraham. Salvation comes by the blood of Jesus Christ. Blood that was poured over you in the waters of holy baptism. So while by blood you may not be related to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, by the blood of the seed, you are by adoption. And that is what matters. It is not salvation by your own blood, but by the blood of Jesus. And so, dear Christian, pray fervently for that place. Pray fervently for the people that live there, whether they call themselves Israelites or Palestinians, because there are Christians in both of those places that are stuck in an endless war of people that have rejected Jesus Christ as the Savior. Pray for them. And pray for the heathen in that land. The heathen that rejected Jesus on both sides. Pray that the Holy Spirit would raise up servants to proclaim the gospel there. That they would be converted, that they would hear the only hope of salvation, the only hope of peace, turn from their sins and live. Jesus is the only hope of salvation, and Jesus is with us this very evening. The church sings, O Jesus Christ, do not delay, but hasten our salvation. We often tremble on our way in fear and tribulation. Then hear us when we cry to thee. Come, mighty judge, and make us free from every evil. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.